Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 47. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me today is...
Pat.
Alex.
Cat and Pat.
Yay.
And we are joined by our lovely producer, Andy, who's listening right now.
Always listening. Always watching.
So today we're going to break down some trailers and movie posters. We're going to discuss Warner Brothers' weird questionable decisions, talk about some general comic book and geek culture news, give our thoughts on Swamp Thing and its demise, and but first we're going
to
talk about
Fox
the comic.
Fox executed that right to hell.
Warner Brothers execs this time.
Yeah, I know. Fox executed it. It's like,
Gosh. But first we're going to go to the top of the stack. We're going to start with Alex. What do you have for us?
So I have Witchblade number 14. Witchblade has been a really good read. It's actually one of my favorite comics that's coming out, mainly because the characters are super interesting. I like the protagonist the most. She's got, like, a lot of depth to her, and if you know that there's background that they haven't discussed about her past yet. And the art is really pretty. The only problem that I'm currently having is the story arc where it's at right now is a lot of, like, time travel.
Oh.
Yeah. And I just... Like, it would be interesting, but what they're doing with it is not.
Okay.
So I'm ready for a new story arc.
Man, I am one of those weirdos. I'm a sucker for time travel. Like, I end up getting really deep into it for whatever
reason.
How do
you not like X-Men, then?
I like X-Men. Or the X-Men movie franchise?
Any X-Men.
I do like X-Men, but I like cosmic X-Men in space. And Cable's my favorite character in the X-Men, and he's all time travel. Anyway.
But yeah, so Witchblade is a really good read.
Witchblade?
I'm not doing this.
Alright.
Who's on first?
No.
This is before your time, Alex.
This is before your time, Matt.
Well, I am an old soul.
The original Witchblade? Is that what we're talking about?
No.
Sorry.
Off
the rails already.
I'm sorry. Cat,
right,
take
your
us
turn.
Out of here.
This is a hefty comic. I might have to do something with it. So my top of the stack is Superman Leviathan Rising for a $9.99 comic book. Totally worth it, because I think it was basically just, I think it's a start to kind of make a preview to all of the different stuff that's about to come out, which is including the Leviathan comic that's, I think, next week, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
And then Greg Rucka doing Lois Lane. I'm going to pass on the Jimmy Olsen one.
I have no idea what the hell is happening in that.
No one... Well, what is it? The cat, the Red Lantern cat, isn't it?
Yeah, and he vomits all over the room.
Disgusting. I was like, terrible. I mean, hairballs are terrible, but that's hell.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're doing that, and I actually enjoyed the Lois Lane one. Shocker to me, too. Don't worry.
It's Rucka, you know?
Yeah,
like
that's that was the thing, is that when I found out it was Greg Rucka, I'm like, you...
I thought the framework of this book was really good.
Well,
the
confusing
idea that...
part is, too, is in this one, they don't really separate stories. The only way I know that they're separate is the artwork
changes. Right, the artwork changes. The genesis, though, that they're, the way to get at Superman is to capture Clark Kent.
They also did a Supergirl story, too, which I didn't really think about until it was at the very end.
Shout out to Mark Andreyko and the movie trivia Shmoedown. He is one of half of the tag team champions right now.
So.
And also the writer of Supergirl.
Yeah, definitely worth a buy, and I would highly suggest it. It's really, really good.
Cool. Well, I'm going to stay in the realm of DC as well. And
DC.
My top of the stack is Justice League 25.
Don't ruin it.
I will not ruin it. I will just say that Scott Snyder, James Tynion IV, Jorge Jimenez, and Javier Fernandez know the relationship between Superman and Batman better than anybody writing comics right now.
I didn't realize that James
Tynion
was doing it to Batman. Why didn't I read
that? I mean, that's like an all-star creative team right
there.
Yeah,
it is fantastic.
He's done Batman for so long because he did one of my favorite detective comic runs, too.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Snyder, this is like total insanity DC history wrapped into one crazy event.
Do I have the Wikipedia open?
No, because I think if you know Superman and know the heart of Superman, you will just love this book. It also shows a artistic change because Javier Fernandez is going to be jumping on the book now as one of the regular artists.
Who was it before?
He was doing...
No, who was it before?
Jorge Jimenez and then Jim Chung were alternating.
That's right.
So, and Monopole had been in there as well. It's a great art team anyway. Any of those artists are just fantastic. Just seeing the League back together, and they do get to return from this whole sixth dimension thing, which not a surprise to anybody. But this really launches Year of the Villain in such a way that, hoo-wee, Lex Luthor, you a bad motherfucker. So, yeah, I loved this issue. I can't say enough about the turn Justice League has made from being almost too confusing to being, like, the core DC book.
Head-scratching confusing.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. Patrick?
Nice. Well, I guess we will stay in the realm of DC Comics continuously, because my top of the stack this week was Young Justice number 6, written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by John Timms. I honestly kind of picked this one first just because the variant cover is written by or drawn by Villalobos. Why do I always forget it? Ramon Villalobos. This book is just fun. It's great. It's kind of everything you want in the Bendis' new Wonder Comics line. Just a sort of light superhero story. Great characters.
See, you say light, but there's so much underneath it.
Okay, yeah. I'm, like, tonally light,
okay,
I should say.
Yeah, I was like, leave with that, because that's pretty hefty when you have other things in combination with it.
Anecdotally, Kat, Pat, and myself all ended up with the same variant cover on this book. And that was not, like, discussed. We just kind of gravitated towards Villalobos' art.
Yeah,
so
it's really good all the time. I'm excited to read it. I think he has a new comic coming out soon
or something like that.
Anywho, I always love Brian Michael Bendis's, like, just way he writes characters. He just really understands, like, what people would say, who are those people.
See, like, that's like half the time when I read Superman, I'm like, did you just read a bunch of Superman comics before you did anything?
Yeah, I mean,
not
like,
that I'm offended by that idea, and I appreciate it, but did you?
Yeah, I don't know. He has a grasp on like characterization really well. The only criticism I have about this book that was continuing in that realm is that it kind of like the dialogue moves a little too quickly sometimes,
yeah,
but that's like necessary for the comic that has seven indistinct characters.
Well, also
and like
kind of it's like a snap and a jump over here, left over there. They're talking now. This person's talking now.
Yeah.
If you're not paying attention in this comic, you will get lost.
Yeah. Alex, are you reading Young Justice?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed this issue. I have the issue at home, but I was a terrible person and didn't read it yet.
Yeah. So it's kind of getting into. It also is getting a little into like metaverse type stuff, which we might be getting into
spoilers
a little bit later.
I had the same issue though when I was reading the issue where
Amethyst.
Yeah, Amethyst comes in is like, especially because they were in the hole, so you could see the bubbles, but you couldn't see who was actually speaking.
Yeah,
and it was a little bit hard for me to figure out like what exactly was going on in those pages.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed a trend with DC in general is I think they're just giving the readers just credit. And saying, if you can't figure this out, then you'll
Google
go
it.
Back and read it and you'll like Google it and look it up yourself. And I'm kind of liking that because it's a contrast to some of the stuff that even some of the like first issues for independent publishers are a little bit like force feedy right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm liking the contrast.
I agree with you totally. Like, I would much rather have to go back and reread it than be force fed like everything.
And that's what why I'm digging Justice League, is I've kind of let go of the idea that I'm not going to know what's happening per se. Like, I just have to go with it.
So. Oh, I just noticed on this cover too that Impulse is like in three different spots.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I didn't pick up on that before.
Too, when like they're talking and everything. Let's see if I can find it real quick. It's just sitting here because I noticed it when I was just kind of flipping through and reading.
Well, that was like
this panel right here. This panel in here where he's there, he's not there, then he's there again.
Yeah,
nice. So they're like, playing on the ADD of Impulse that he's actually, like, bouncing around all the time.
Well, it's like, it is ADD, and she's, like, describing what they need to, like, she's like, all right, there's this giant monster, and we're going to need to fight that. Then there's this tunnel that's 3 miles straight down,
and
we
to
need to go through
that.
And while she's explaining this, he just pops out and pops back. He's like, is this what you're talking about? And she's like, yes! How'd you get that?
Okay.
super speed.
No, no more spoilers, because I'm really, like, excited to read this. Yes. I'm always happy about this book. So.
Yes, great. Cool. It's great.
Comics are good, guys. That's
moral of the story.
I'm going to lead now. We're going to go into some trailer discussion. So let's just talk about the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance poster and trailer. I was fucking flabbergasted. I was so happy when I saw that poster. Immediately was like, post everywhere. Everybody must see this beautiful piece of artwork. And then the trailer hit, and it was like taken to my childhood, just like ripped to my core, beautiful fantasy storytelling.
It looks really good. I haven't even seen the Dark Crystal movie, but I saw the commercial for the show that's coming out, and now I feel like I need to see the movie just so that I can see the show.
It's a weird thing for me to be sitting in this room with all of you nerds and be the only one who'd seen The Dark Crystal. Like,
so I can for me, I'm not excited, and it's not because they don't think the story's good. I just, stylistically, I am not a puppets person. I've never been a puppets person, ever.
That's ever. Fair.
It's just a weird, it's just, I'm like, no, that's, that can stay over there. That's why I've never seen it.
I think you're crazy. It's fair.
There's always those weird quirks, and it's the same thing with, like, talking animal movies. I'm like, I don't, no. Just no. I don't want an animal talking to me.
Except if it's Disney?
I can handle cartoon animals, but when they do, like Homeward Bound, and they have, I'm like, gosh, nah, I don't want this shit. Get it away from me.
You need the phonemes to be expressed properly.
Yes,
you can't just have, like, slapping mouths words coming out of it.
See, which is weird, because I actually thought for the first, like, half of this trailer that it was all CG. The animatronics in it are so good, and the puppets are so well made that I honestly thought, I was like, man, they're stepping up their CG game. This is really beautiful, like really realistic looking. And then there's one scene when Agra opens their eye, and I don't know, for some reason I was just, oh my gosh, that's a puppet. It's animatronics.
Yeah, the thing that I got from the trailer, which it, I wasn't expecting to feel so visceral about, was the tactility of everything. Mm. It's like, I feel like you can reach out into that world and literally touch everything. Like, it's all really there, and that's an incredible feat. And I think we're looking at an 80-20 sort of ratio, like a good beef hamburger. It's like 80% Muppets.
Now that I'm hungry.
80% Muppets, and then like 20% CGI.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously the technology's there. Why wouldn't you accentuate all of that?
It looks like just specifically for, like, super wide shots. They use CG, like, the big, world, like, establishing shots
and
world
effect shots. You know, there's going to be some things, like, when characters jump from, say, area to area, like, how much of that can actually be done by a puppeteer? You can have the initial jump, the impact, but the things in the middle are going to be kind of hard to do that arc that you need them to do.
Yeah, there's that one scene which is super badass where the character, like, jumps.
Oh, the Errol Flynn moment cutting with the knife and then swinging up? Yeah.
Because I think half of that is CG, but, like, the starting and stopping moments were realistic. At least that's what I was...
Yeah.
I don't know.
And there's also a texture to that style of puppeteering that makes it feel like stop-motion animation, where you have, like... what is the principle of animation? Oh, my God, my teachers are yelling at me in college right now. But it's an anticipation idea of start stop, you know, like where the characters aren't swimming. Mm. They're not just like floating their arms around like crazy CG Enchantress from Suicide Squad. They're actually like hitting points of movement, and it gives it more groundwork. I can't wait for this. I'm sorry. I'm just drooling right now just over how beautiful this looks.
Yeah.
Creepy puppets.
Yep. Puppets. Everybody I've talked to about this has either been like, oh my god, or what's the Dark Crystal? So,
go back and watch it. If you've never seen the Dark Crystal, it feels of the 80s. It's old, but it is such a weird and beautiful film. Yeah. You'll be like, I can't believe this got made. that's a lot of what that story is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't do well without the, like, facial expressions of an entire face. Maybe that's what it is.
I think if you watch the movie, you'll be impressed, especially by the Gelfling. The Gelfling are, like, it's a weird race, and they do so much expressions with them, and, like, there's acting in the puppets. It's crazy.
It's just a weird puppet thing. Just maybe it's just like an internal fear of dolls coming to life. I don't know.
Oh, now I'm going to look at it with a fucking weird light now. Now it's like dolls coming to life. Thank you for destroying my brain. I didn't need that.
That's
anyway.
That's not what I like about the new show, though. I didn't like when I saw bits of the movie, I didn't like it because it looked like puppets.
Mm-hmm.
But the new TV show doesn't look at all like puppets.
They look like real creatures.
It's most intriguing, yeah.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, like, you're talking about something that was made in 1982 is what we just established?
Yes.
So, yeah. It's a long time for a prequel.
I like to ruin
like
things.
30 years later?
Yeah.
Almost close to
40. Oh my god, yeah. Let's not talk about Nat's age.
37 years.
Yeah.
So, nice.
Alright. Jessica Jones dropped its final season its final season trailer.
Yes.
There you go.
Not necessarily the final trailer for this. Anyway, yeah. Jessica Jones season 3 is going to be out soon, and the trailer has been released. I'm super excited. I thought the trailer looked great.
Yeah, I love Jessica Jones. It's probably my personal favorite of the ex-Netflix shows. But, yeah, my main criticism of season 2 was that there wasn't a big bad that focused it, and so this kind of brings it back to...
I mean, I just sat and literally watched the whole thing, and you're right, like, in comparison to season 1, it just does not stand up, and I think they realize that, and that's why this next season's gonna be how it is.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily bad. It does what it needs to do, but it's not... Yeah, I just didn't think it was as focused, which this is like... And then we get Hellcat, too.
Yes.
And
it's too. I like the fact that she has some sort of proto-costume, too. Like, they actually, like, made her trying to do superheroics of some kind.
Yeah, she has, like, a Daredevil season 1-esque costume.
Which really fits into the Netflix Marvel-verse.
I canceled, and I can't see anything for, like, 3 to 4 years because we're all mad at each other and can't share. And
that is something, like, I just brief tangent. Like, how does that color your expectations in any specific way? Like, knowing that this is it? Like that we're
it almost just feels cruel because season 3 looks like it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
So you can't just drop like an amazing season and cancel a show. Yeah.
I mean,
excuse me, let me hold my beer, says Netflix.
Yeah, right? Or DC Universe, which we'll get to later, huh?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But
the Wachowski siblings are over there like,
Yeah, seriously.
I'm super excited for this, though.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to binge watch. I've been, ever since Game of Thrones, like, the whole episodic weekly format, where like, watching something a week, has been really enjoyable for me, so I may not binge watch Jessica Jones.
I'll probably binge watch it. The first season I watched, I just was at home one night, and I watched 7 episodes. I was in my room from 5 o'clock till 1 in the morning watching, and I was like, I have to stop.
It's easy to do. Yeah. It's really easy to do.
I can't binge watch it because I have a friend and we have a watching pact, so that always helps.
Well, now I have our producer, so I have no choice. I can't just sit in my room alone and watch Jessica Jones for 9 hours.
Nice.
I don't want to sleep on the couch.
Alright. So, there was an announcement made that DC Films was not going to be appearing at Hall H of San Diego Comic-Con this year. The positive to that is that Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins have released the first poster, a first official poster for Wonder Woman 1984.
Why are you laughing?
Oh, yeah, like, Pat, you want to leave.
Because it's just so 80s. It's like, I knew that the movie was going to be in the 80s, and after seeing, like, Captain Marvel, like, which dug pretty hard into, like, 90s stuff, like, this image just by itself is, it's the 1980s! Just, like, punching you in the face with... bright lights and bell bottoms.
Well, those were the 70s.
Okay.
I know way too much. Thank you, Mom.
Okay, whatever.
So. I
neon lights and gold, that's what you're going for.
Neon lights and gold, yeah, that's Studio 54.
And that's the whole
70s.
Image.
Oh, sorry. Late 70s.
Alright, anyway. But, yeah.
Just got in last long. Anyways. Well,
what did you think?
I don't know how I feel about... I want to know what that gold thing is, because I don't know how I feel about that. And it's just, like, a gaudy thing for me. I'm like, that is a lot of gold, and I know that's this is the 80s, but at the same time, I didn't think Wonder Woman was like that, so there's, like, this inner conflict. Like, what do you... what are you doing? I didn't hate it. I just want a freaking trailer.
I know you're going to say this.
It feels weird that they changed her costume. Because even though that her first movie was set in the, God, what era was that set in?
1940s?
The teens.
It was the teens. Oh, yeah. Yeah. World War One.
Was it World War One?
And, mm-hmm. like, they still put her in her original outfit, but then they changed it for 1984.
Well, she's still got her normal outfit. No, nobody's going to comment on the fact that tiara is missing?
I don't really know what to do with that. That was the thing, is like, I don't know what this is, and that's what bothers me, because I don't think this is her costume. I'm honestly hoping they shift towards New 52 style, but it's the 80s, so I'm probably not going to get New 52 style.
I mean, she
style.
Wears the old one in, like, Batman vs. Superman and Justice League, doesn't she?
Yes. I mean, why can't you have multiple costumes, though? Like, do you just, like, when you get a new costume,
see,
I would
because
throw
I don't
away.
Like that one.
I love being the DC file in the room, because this is her Golden Eagle armor. And the reason they're not showing a tiara is because she's going to have a full eagle feathered helm. Like, it's going to be the full golden eagle. She'll probably either have wings or a flowing cape behind her when
Isn't
this is actually...
Isn't that a little Hawkwoman-ish, though?
That's actually a big rumor going around that Hawkwoman and Hawkman are in this film, so she may actually be wearing Thanagarian armor.
Are we going to go... We're going to talk about Nth Metal?
We are going to be talking about Nth Metal.
I'm not saying, I don't know, I can't handle that much gold.
Look at the image again, and the pattern on her legs looks like feathers.
Wonder Woman's not really like a, she's not an entire blind spot, but her a lot of her costumes and her more pastel.
Yeah, she's worn variations of the gold armor in several different comic books, and I think
that's
what
they
doing.
Don't show her feet, actually. I thought that was like the one interesting part of the image view, or the tiara, but like it kind of fades out like from the knee down to like her feet, and I was like, maybe...
Some claws or talons.
I don't know.
Or
I always like love the wings. Shield and the sword, so it's usually hard for me to pull from that, but I'm hoping they
I'm glad that they don't actually have the sword in this, because I'm really hoping that she uses her tiara more. Like, that's... the lasso more. Yeah. I loved this poster. This was 110%, like... I wasn't expecting this, but I was like, oh, sweet. Thor Ragnarok combined with Wonder Woman set in a super 80s world. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm honestly really... I was half tempted to send this to my mom. Oh my God. Now will you watch Wonder Woman? It's in the 80s. What else do you want?
You just had an oh my God moment. What?
Yeah, anyway, think about that. Her poster looks a little bit like the Thor Ragnarok poster because of, like... I mean, different color choice, but I mean, it looks like the same pattern.
Yeah, they're doing all the neon crazy colors. I also thought it was beautiful to allow the suit to reflect the crazy background, so you have to pick up on the fact that you're looking at all gold. Like, it's all of the way the light is reflecting around it.
I know you're probably going to say this is the 70s, but now if there's not a scene where she's roller skating on a light up, I'm still going to be disappointed if there's not one.
That would be the 70s.
I want to see air roller skating. Like, she's like using like roller skating moves but flying.
I want the soundtrack to this film, because that'll tell me whether or not how much I'm truly going to enjoy it.
Yeah, this is
going
to be a tough one, because I want a like fully scored soundtrack, but if we're setting it in the 80s, it kind of has to have some 80s music, right?
I want a synthy reprise of her theme song.
Oh my
god. Instead of the guitar, like with the synth.
You fucking hit it on the head. They can just rather than have classic 80s music, just do an 80s synth score for the film.
Yeah, well, you could do like...
Fuck, that'd be amazing.
You could do like a synth concerto, essentially. Like, have like a full orchestration, but have like a synthesizer as like the main melody.
Well, the full game for the movie starts in December, so my hope is in December that we actually get a trailer.
A full teaser trailer.
Yeah. I want a full trailer. I don't want a damn teaser.
I would not be surprised if we get a teaser trailer at San Diego Comic-Con, because DC is not going to be there, if they just release sort of a trailer, just drop it online while something else is being announced for another company. I'm sorry, my nose is very stuffed up.
Just to screw with everybody?
Yes.
That sounds like a thing they would do.
To take over the news cycle.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, we spent a lot of time on that, so we're going to rush through some stuff now. What the hell is happening at Vertigo? It looks like DC is talking about shutting down the whole imprint.
Are they really?
A lot of rumors floating around, and some unconfirmed reports coming from creatives on Twitter that might be the end, and kind of complaining that like now people are talking about Vertigo as opposed to talking about it when the great books were being released. So
don't
yeah,
look at me.
I know.
He's this whole time.
You have been a huge fan.
I'm the only one here, like, goddess mode.
Yeah.
Guys.
But well, that's the thing is that I'm like over here. I'm like, I don't need a mind bleed, and I don't want to talk about technology.
Well,
like
this is kind of weird because some of the rights might just drop back to the creators, which means like a lot of these books could end up at Image or other publishers and new reprints and new collections.
Mother Panic. I don't think they can take her because she's too.
That's
bad.
Not Vertigo.
That's a Young Animal.
That's Young Animal.
Is it a Young Animal?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I don't know how to.
I think the Sandman stuff is going to stay with DC.
More likely.
Because that's almost like its own line.
Right. It's like a subline within.
Yeah.
It's a subline within DC Vertigo. So, yeah, really really confusing. Waiting to hear official reports at this point in time. But
it's funny that you say that because I was just thinking that this Wednesday when I went to go get my comics, I was like, I have not seen a new Vertigo book in a while or even, like, the current ones that.
Yeah, Goddess Mode was like 2-3 weeks ago.
See, that's the other thing I feel like we're moving towards a reset of DC, so I wonder if they're going to close that down and maybe put something else in its place, but I don't know what it would
be. Well, bringing back Young Animal for a second wave was probably telling that was maybe the direction that they wanted to go. Plus, Black Label, I think, is doing better than they initially thought.
The other part of it is, too, is you've got, what, Doom Patrol, and didn't they used to be Vertigo? But they're coming out just as a...
So, yeah. Also Young Animal.
Patrol was DC, then it was Vertigo, then it was DC Young Animal, and so...
Well, now I think it's back to DC, isn't it?
It's Young Animal again.
Is it?
Yeah. So which is still DC, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm curious to see... We'll see what they're up to, and like you said, if it falls back to the creators, nothing is technically dead.
Yeah. They could all come back, and... Well, and things like Swamp Thing, once again, complicated in terms of who owns what, but we assume it's DC at this point.
Yeah.
Considering DC did the last Swamp Thing run, and the character appears in Justice League Dark.
So. Yeah, he's in Justice League Dark, so I'm assuming they own him. Or they own specific parts of him.
Right.
Yeah, copyright stuff.
More DC stuff. Tom King is writing the New Gods movie with Ava DuVernay.
Whoa. That is a powerhouse creative team.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this because I think Tom King is at his best when he's not working within continuity. So just telling like straight outward stories are fantastic.
I think Tom King does his best when you don't make him slow burn everything.
Yeah. But yeah. So a movie, I think you can't really slow burn that. And Ava DuVernay from I'm forgetting a lot of what she's done off the top of my head.
The most recent. So she has a show about the
Central Park 5.
Central Park 5 on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
And she did, most recently, film-wise,
Wrinkle
in Time, thank you.
But there was,
for a breakout movie, I can't think of.
I know. I'm gonna remember it, like, right after we finish recording and scream. but, yeah, great director, and, like, she is very...
Studios have to destroyed. We're all okay, but...
Yeah, movies are very quickly paced, too, so, like, are, like, well-paced, I should say. I don't know. There's a lot of beats. She hits a lot of beats. Quickly, I guess, story-wise.
Yeah. Also, Tom King is a great choice from my current comic writers, as he showed with Mr. Miracle, he knows the New Gods. Like, he's got that knowledge of the background of deep
cuts. Oh, I can have visual depression. Hooray!
I hope it's not. I hope they actually go with, like, telling a broader New God story and don't just focus on Mr. Miracle.
Yeah.
So, I'm just worried that's going to turn sideways into depression somewhere. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be more of, like, a political intrigue slash, like... war, like, thing, like, them versus Apocalypse, but I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where they decide to start the story. Alex, your thoughts?
I didn't honestly think about it until you mentioned it, so...
Yeah?
Nice.
You've read Mr. Miracle, so...
No more sad.
No more sad.
No more
Heroes
sad.
In Crisis. So you're familiar with Tom King.
Yeah.
No more sad.
I did read Heroes in Crisis.
That
is a discussion I could get into. That's like a whole other world.
That's a whole other episode, so stay tuned.
I mean, he did Batman sad, too. No more sad,
sad Batman. Sad.
No more sad.
Wow, we got to run through some stuff, so we're gonna cut some stuff here. The Russo brothers have left Marvel Studios and instead are going to be develop a Magic the Gathering animated series for Netflix.
Did they actually leave, or did they just say, hey, we're going to take a break
for this? No, they said... said that they were done with Marvel at the moment. Okay. So, not that they are a bad relationship
by any
stretch of the imagination.
It's not
for
everything. It's just that we're going to go do something else for a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of the team of creators on this worked on shows like Clone Wars and Agent Carter. We've got director, and I'm going to apologize in advance for our pronunciation. It's Joriaki Mochizuki. As one of the directors has been announced for this. The animation is coming from Bardell Entertainment, who is also responsible for the animation of The Dragon Prince, Rick and Morty, and Teen Titans Go. Ooh. So that's a nice broad spectrum of
that
art
is a
styles.
Weird. I did not realize they all came from the same studio.
Hoping to lean towards Dragon Prince on the animation style, because I would love like a high fantasy, especially if they're going to be dealing with the Planeswalkers, which is the rumor.
Troll like Rick and Morty.
God.
A comedy show.
That would be... I would be pretty sad, actually. Unless they kill Jace in the first episode, then I'd be okay.
Ooh.
I hate Jace.
No way.
Come at me.
He's like, at me right now.
Jace is worse planeswalker. Change my mind.
Nah, have a stronger opinion about a playing card.
Elspeth is best.
You walked into that one. I knew once you did it, I was like, nah, this is not going
to work. I don't know why I tried this.
Yeah, you just...
I was about to say something, and I realized how bad racially it would sound because of colors of magic. So, we're not going to go there.
All right, yes.
Why do I feel like this involves either white or black?
You would be correct.
Let's move on.
What, nobody else has any positive reactions about this?
Well, I do, but I don't want to get mixed up into a race war, apparently.
It's more like a card war, okay?
It is all a card war.
All right, fair enough.
Out of context, I guess. It just sounds terrible.
Yeah. seriously, I need a break. New DC Black Label title has been announced, Joker Harley Criminal Sanity. This is coming from Kami Garcia with art by Mike Mayhew and Miko Suyon. 9 issues.
It's a weird number.
That was years ago.
I don't know if I like that 9 number, though.
Well, I'm picturing all of the Black Label titles thus far have been oversized, so...
Well, it's been 3... I don't remember if it said in the article what I read to how long each one should be. They normally do.
But they've been like 40 to 60 pages each thus far. And so that was the announcement for some of the other titles that had been previously. I think Superman is the same way. Superman Year One.
I will let you know in like a week.
I'm so excited. Anyway. But this is supposed to focus on Harley as a forensic psychiatrist / profiler consulting for the GCPD. And what were you saying? There's something about the take on the Joker?
So Joker's going to be, like, kind of... He's going to be the same serial killer, as much sense as that makes. They're going to kind of make him, like, a Ted Bundy type, which is... And a lot of people actually already speculate that's how he is. He just acts crazy. But now he's not going to act crazy. He's just going to... That'll be weird. I'm curious to see what they're up to, but... At the same time, I'm like, 9 issues of this better be good.
Yeah.
Because I figured this would be something that's like a 3 to 6.
If you do this as 9 issues, can we speculate that about by issue 5 is when we get the turn?
Probably.
Like Harleen becomes Harley.
Well, I think she's hunting him, and I'm assuming that...
Oh, so they're like doing a procedural stuff.
I think so.
Ooh.
That's why she came to Gotham. So I'm assuming that they're going to find him. She's going to start interviewing him.
Gotcha.
And it'll go, one will probably just be her talking to him over.
So 9's actually a pretty sweet number, because you can talk about the first 3 issues being the find him. The next 3 issues being the actual profiling him and questioning him in Arkham Asylum. And then you end with the turn, and then you have 3 issues
together.
So I'm
more curious
together.
To know if Batman exists in this universe. Because it doesn't sound like he does.
Oh, ho, that's an interesting concept.
So I don't know if he does.
And
there's
I can't read.
That it is.
I apologize if I'm
so
sounding really weird right
now. That's the thing that I'm more curious about, is if Batman exists in this universe. Because by now he probably would have dropped Joker on the doorstep.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious if they're just doing kind of like a crime beat Harley Quinn kind of thing.
I like that. I like that idea if, like, super criminals were something that's just a result of the state of the world.
Yeah. Anyways.
Cool. Well, we're going to go ahead and skip right over to Swamp Thing. DC Universe original show. It aired 1 episode. Got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes of positive responses. And was canceled before the second episode aired.
Yeah, that was probably, I'm like, wow, you Fox Studioed that right there. Look at you go.
Do we know why?
There's so much, from my understanding, there's so much crap that involves. There was already speculation when they went from 13 to 10.
Right. So, do we want to talk about that first, or do we want to go into, like, our thoughts on the episode?
Let's go with thoughts, then we can find, then okay. I can have my questions answered.
I liked this. I thought Swamp Thing was an interesting take. I loved the cinematography in the show. I actually really liked the lead. I thought Abby Arcane was very, very good.
What else is she in? She looks familiar, though. I know who she, I've seen her in so many different things, and I know that I have. I think she's in a couple horror movies, actually.
Okay. She was really, like, I thought she was a great through line. I thought she was a really endearing character, and, I liked the fact that they played it like a monster movie.
I just realized I said I'm watching Jaws Swamp Edition.
You watching Jaws Swamp Edition? That's hilarious.
That was like the first scene when I'm being hunted by those plants. I was like, you think I'd be more scared? I'm not.
Yeah, there's only one, like, for me, one jump scare.
And that's it.
Yeah. Patrick, you had a certainly not enjoyable.
I enjoyed aspects of it. I mean, especially talking about the opening scene. It's the camera work and the CG and the real effects and special effects I thought were very well done. All the vines, like, creeping and, like, the people getting, like, being, like, grown through and stuff. That was really cool. I really liked that part.
I just can't.
Yeah. All the acting, dialogue, and storyline I absolutely hated, though. It felt to me like I was watching a Sci-Fi Channel original movie, just with a bigger budget, and they spent it all on just better CG.
So, for me, I didn't really have any interest to begin with, and the fact that it's being canceled, I watched it after I learned that it was being canceled, so it's like, I would probably, just because it starts off with the, like, medical disease kind of thing, which I've always loved. I've read a few different books with that stuff, so that's usually my favorite kind of stuff. But I mean, now knowing that it's canceled, I'm like, I don't want to put my time and my want into this when I know that you're not gonna go on. It's kind of annoying.
We have to be careful about that too as fans, because not watching will...
Oh, no, I originally didn't want to watch it because I'd never had much of an interest in Swamp Thing.
Right.
And I think knowing that it's going to be canceled, I don't really want to invest that much time into it.
But this could be fuel for the fire for them to get rid of DC Universe. And that's like, as my concern as a fan is, like, if nobody tunes into the show, then not only is there no reason for them to do a second season, which we already know is not happening, but it may be a reevaluation, which is a term that's already been used for the DC Universe service amongst Time Warner execs.
Oh, I'm waiting for Harley Quinn, so they've already got me somewhere. But
they've got me with Young Justice as well. Like, that's
so.
Did you get a chance to watch Swamp Thing? I know you've had on and off relationship with the DC Universe service. So.
Yeah, no, I did not.
So, for them saying that, the thing that bothers me the most is they're like, this is horror-like, and I'm like, I'm not scared. This is just a lot of creepy vines, and, I mean, it's not even, the vine thing, I was like, okay, that's fine, there's nothing against, I have nothing against that, but it's just like, I wasn't, for me, I'm a chicken shit. So the fact that I wasn't scared, I'm like, I don't know how, maybe I would go with thriller, closer to thriller than I would to... horror, because
I think it's straight body horror. It's horror, truly. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, there's no jump scares, really. There's no, like, and big noises, I don't think, but
there's a lot of cracking boats in half with vines. I'm gonna disagree on the big noises.
There's
with.
A lot of the, like, the shot choices being, like, leading you into a room and feeling enclosed. Like, it feels like a horror production.
Yeah, I think, stylistically, it is filmed as if it were a horror movie, but, I mean, it's a lot of, like, setup and, like...
procedural elements.
You know, you get, like, the weird tones and stuff
that
just, like, kind of get you off edge.
Well, the other part of it is, too, is, like, I remember watching, when I was watching some of this, and she's, like, from the CDC, and they're, like, when they go into Patient Zero house, and they're just, like, walking around with gloves, I'm like, come on! You don't even know if it's airborne or anything like that!
Okay, that is, I have specific quotes written down about, like, how terrible the dialogue is and acting, like, so when she comes into contact with that, she's like, alright, we don't know what this is, gloves, masks, goggles, until we do. And then the very next scene, cut to her not wearing goggles. it's not even, like, a few minutes later. It's literally
Well, that was the other problem I had, too, is, like, in the scene in the morgue. And she's like, I'm like, you're also handling a literal body you can see is contaminated with whatever your problem is. And you have gloves on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure with a lot of that, the CDC at that point would be, like, literally fully gone.
When you're introduced to the dude who's, like, the crackpot or whatever, like, well, he's in the hospital first, but then they find him, he's sawing off the stuff, like, with his bare hands, too. And he's supposed to be, like, a medical expert. Yeah. Or, like, a bot.
He's biological. It's just, when you do biological mystery stuff, I usually have a pretty solid interest in that, and it's mostly just because I like to, it's always interesting to see how things spread, but I got a little salty with that. I was like, you're literally touching the dude, and you don't even know if you're contaminated now. And then on top of that, when she fell in the swamp at the end, I'm like, you could have it now, too. And I'm just
Like, when they're going through and you see, like, people grown through with vines, and nobody's like, let's just continue to touch everything and walk around. I'm sure there's nothing we have to worry about now.
Yeah, the best part is when they're walking towards the dude in the bathroom, and there's, like, the like, throw-up of the vines on there, and I'm like, and yet your thought process isn't to walk back to the car and get gowned up? What's wrong with you people? Anyways, I didn't hate it. There's just some moments where I got a little agitated.
So that line threw off the rest of the production. If that was gone...
No, not that one. Every line.
Well, the problem...
I have just specifically the worst ones.
Well, by introducing that line, and obviously I'm fine with this, because it's we're watching a show, but by introducing that line, they add a sci-fi element to it that makes you think about the fact that this is going to be more of a grounded science fiction show. When if they didn't have that, they could do what they were doing, which is a horror show, so they need to see people's facial reactions and have all of that. By introducing that line, they set an expectation that these are smart people that are doing all of the CDC by the book process.
And they did it wrong.
And they all did it wrong when they wanted to sell a horror story, and in that, you have to have everybody being stupid.
That's a fair statement. So, I don't get him that one.
Yeah.
So they screwed up their own suspension of disbelief, because we would have been fine with the suspension of disbelief if everybody had just been doing that anyway.
Yeah.
But they introduced an element that was saying, nope, this is a sci-fi story, so now your expectations, both of you, were colored by, okay, they told us that they're going to do this, and this is the CDC, so now they're disobeying their own
sense. I think if she was just like an actual like research doctor instead of being like a part of the CDC, I would have been a little more forgiving on not doing the proper protocol, but we're just like, I'm a part of the CDC. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
And see, I think that's really the main problem with not only, like, with suspension of disbelief for that, but, like, they just tell you everything. Yeah. Like, she's not, like, every time, oh, man, they just, gosh, all right. Oh, they just, like, say, this is the virus. This is, like, you do know what, like, a this is this, like, explaining it. Like, it's another thing. She's from the CDC. Why are they having this conversation as if they were talking to us? And also, why do they describe each other and themselves explicitly? Nobody's just like, I'm the type of person... Oh, man. How did you know I'm not a local? Oh, because you're wearing designer flip-flops. Like, don't just tell us these things, like, show him being, I mean, they already kind of tried to show him
being, that didn't bother me at whatever. All. For me, it was just two characters having, the tete-a-tete relationship thing, you know, it's like, who's got the upper hand here, who's smarter than you.
I think that's probably why I had an issue with this show, because they went into two lanes, and you can't usually do sci-fi, you can do sci-fi and horror pretty well, obviously alien movies, but at the same time, the way that they did the biological stuff and tried to intertwine it, and I'm like, you're doing all of this.
There's a difference between going hard sci-fi, where it's all about the science, and then sci-fi horror, or even just general science fiction. Mm-hmm. And this seemed like it failed at doing both, because it didn't have its lane. Uh-huh. Well,
Sorry, I was going to say, but that's typical superhero stuff, is there's magic, and then somebody uses pseudoscience to, like, to vaguely explain how it works. That's such a classic trope of the genre.
Yeah.
You know, some people, and it's usually done really well that you don't think about it.
But this one made it way too obvious.
Yeah, I guess, because So, conflicting ideas.
This divisiveness and conflicting ideas may be part of why this was canceled. During production, there has been reports that the Time Warner executives, from the AT&T merger, were not happy with the direction that the show was taking from what they were seeing. And there were fights about whether or not this needed to be more superhero-y or more horror elements. And obviously, like, James Wan, the executive producer, leaning towards horror. And
I think if they left him alone, it's really funny how every time they seem to intercede in things, things take a bit of a nosedive.
Yeah. So, well, and I also think that their announcement gives them power. If they announce that they're canceling it now, before multiple episodes air and people get, like, wanting the next one, you're going to have more reactions like what you had, Kat, where it's like, well, I don't know if I need to be invested in this because I already know it's canceled. So they've effectively buried their own show. Like, they've done what they needed to do. But there's more involved in this. Apparently, when the deal was originally struck for the series, I think it's North Carolina. I apologize if I'm wrong about that. But the original number was about $35 million in tax breaks that were going to be for filming the series there. And paperwork got botched, and the actual number was closer to $12 million. That's a big number. That's a lot of money that was missed out. And I've heard as numbers as high as 40 million, but 35 seems to be kind of the standard number.
Uh-huh.
And this might have led to the episode count being cut. I mean, probably. If you're already talking about losing $20 million for tax breaks, that's a very good reason to be like, we can't do these extra episodes.
Yeah. In all honesty, the reason I thought it got a cut after watching the first episode was just that it was bad.
And
I really thought that, like, and then I was thinking back on it, I was like, oh, the execs probably saw, like, the pilot and were like, no, you don't get more episodes. This is not, like, because I love Titans, Doom Patrol, Young Justice, all the first three, and it was so good, and this just doesn't live up to the standard that they set for themselves, I feel.
Which is interesting, because critically, this is the most positive of the shows.
Well, really?
Young Justice exists on its own. Justice is nearly
that one doesn't
perfect.
Count. That one existed.
Yeah. Young Justice might be the best thing DC has produced outside of the comics.
The highest live action one so far.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense because, I mean, like, it's been gaining popularity with the reviews of its first three shows, and then I kind of assumed also that there was so many reviews just because it's kind of picking up steam and people are like, oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of reactionary reviews that are like, because people are on a high still from Doom Patrol, that, like, it kind of colored expectations before going in. I don't know. I'm saddened by this. It is a big question of whether or not the Time Warner and the advent of a potential streaming service of Warner Brothers, is DC Universe just going to end up being buried in its entirety, or is this going to become some sort of a subset of another service?
Yeah. I don't want to pay that much money. I just want this. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, we'll give you all this stuff. I'm like, I don't watch that, and I don't watch that. I'll pay the $8 for this. Or the, what is it, $7, $8 for this.
Yeah.
My concern is animation. Like, animation seems to be lost in the shuffle with a lot of this stuff, and Young Justice is the shit. It's so good, and all of the animated movies getting on there, like, almost week of release for home video, it's, yeah, I don't know. This is it makes me sad, because it felt like DC was on this really upward trajectory.
So my best guess of the day is what AT&T is probably going to attempt to do. They're going to do their own little, they'll do their own little streaming service, and then through the phone company, offer that to you when you go to them for that, to try and get, to sway people over to AT&T, because I don't actually know how popular AT&T is. I just know they don't work here. So for me, it's just, I've heard that when they bought DirecTV, DirecTV went to crap, and I was like, awesome!
Yeah, well, you had also mentioned, too, because Warner Brothers is paired up with HBO, that they might do their own, like, streaming service and include that. And also, they own Boomerang and Crunchyroll, too.
I didn't realize they own Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
If you could combo all of those things into a decent package that was actually competitive, and if they pull HBO from other networks, so, like, if you can't do HBO through Hulu or through Amazon, but you can only get it through this streaming service, You might have my money.
Yeah.
But and DC Universe would have to be part of that. Like, I need this service.
Well, ostensibly, if they did do an overarching universe, they would have the rights to the DC Universe and all of its content. So why not at least have it available if you're not... if not reboot it.
I mean, its own sub-channel, too, you know, like...
That's kind of why I'm like, can you just leave this here? Because this is all I'll watch. I don't really watch... If I'm going to watch HBO stuff as dumb as it sounds, I would probably just buy it.
I noticed this the other day, this is kind of a tangent, but on the DC Universe, I noticed that as you start at the top and scroll down, the background is, like, space, and then, like, when you get to the very bottom, it's the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
well, that's cool. I mean, that's really like positive element. Like, we'll end there.
a little nice little factoid.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Ta-da. Well, join us. We're going to do some reviews here pretty soon. So tune in.
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, bye.
Bye.